It's time now for hour number two in this weekend's big two-hour get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my pleasure to be anchor, and of course, Carol Marx is the host of the program. If you want to know more about Carol Marx, if you want to have some of the resources that we share with our listeners for better living, and if you'd like to hear some of the archives of old interviews and past shows, check out our website, atouchofgrey.com. That's A Touch of Grey.com, and Grey is spelled with an E. Okay, let's get on with hour number two. Carol Marx, front and center, in conversation with Sprague Theobald. He's a two-time Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker and founder of Hole in the Wall Productions. He's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled The Other Side of the Ice, One Family's Treacherous Journey Negotiating the Northwest Passage. It's published by Skyhorse Publishing.
And I want to start out by asking you, what happened to a former explorer in the Arctic, Sir John Franklin, that got you interested in exploring the Northwest Passage in the first place? And how would you define what the Northwest Passage is anyway?
The Northwest Passage is the easy question. Northwest Passage is a theoretical route which connects the Atlantic to the Pacific through the Arctic. And it's not a specific route. It's trying to take advantage of various channels, which in theory, if there was no ice and no Arctic, would connect the two oceans, which would make a huge shortcut for the old days, not having to go down around Cape Horn, and even now not having to go through the Panama Canal. So that's now getting to the question about John Franklin. Since probably Columbus's day, man has been trying to find this shortcut. And the most infamous, I guess you could say, exploration was John Franklin, who set out from England in 1845 with 200-foot ships and 129 men. And for all intents and purposes, Carol, they just disappeared. To this day, nobody knows what happened to them. They found, I guess it was about 100 years ago, they found some fragments of bone that had been sawn. So they knew the last days were not pleasant. Nobody has found the ships. Nobody has found timbers. Nobody has found anything. So that, when I learned about that story as a young boy, I think that was the first warning signal for my parents that they were raising an adventurer, because I thought, this is amazing that somebody can go and just disappear like that. And maybe there were 30 expeditions over the next 50 years that went to try and find Franklin, and some of them didn't make it back.
Wow.
So in, it was 2006, I was living aboard a 57-foot trawler, and the notion struck me, and I thought, as a filmmaker, the time has come. I've got to go and try and see what I can find, or not find.
Right, and your boat was called the Vagan, was it? It was
Vagan, yep.
Yeah, it was only a 57-foot fiberglass pleasure craft, and that's not very big. I mean, look at what John Franklin had.
Exactly. Well, I have to, in slight defense of myself, I have to say I did do some due diligence, and I went up the season before on a Russian icebreaker to kind of see what I would be in for. And that's the crazy part of the Arctic and what's going on today, and the Northwest Passage in particular. When I went up on that Russian icebreaker, Carol, we saw no ice, none. And I thought, well, you know, unfortunately, climate change is occurring, and the ice is getting far, far less, so I think I can actually do this trip. Well, as I found out, which I say in the book and the film, that, you know, Mother Nature's not on anybody's schedule but her own.
And we're going to talk about that, your encounter with the ice, because it was so interesting and scary, in a few minutes. But I want to ask you about your family members that went with you. How did that happen, and were you very pleased that they decided to join you on the trip?
I was pleased, but really shocked. And I was shocked because, like so many families, unfortunately, in life, we had gone through a divorce about 15 years earlier. And I had a son from that marriage. I also had two stepchildren. And my son and I spent as much time as we could together. We were all living on opposite coasts. And my stepchildren, not so much, and especially my stepson. He and I basically didn't speak for 15 years. And as the trip developed, all of them knew about the trip, but I didn't want to bring them into danger, so to speak. But one by one, Carol, they came to me. And they said, you know, well, in the case of my daughter, my stepdaughter, she had been working on boats, and she said she would love to be a part of the project, which I was absolutely delighted at. Then my son said he was able to get a semester waived for college, and he could do the entire 5 months. So that was wonderful. And then the miracle of all was my stepson, whom I hadn't heard from in 15 years, basically called and said, we have our differences. Let's put those aside. I'd love to be able to be part of this trip. So we were about a month away from leaving when all of a sudden the focus turned into my three children now all being together with me under the same roof for the first time in 15 years at the same time.
It was a very small roof, too. Now, I want to talk about the ice, because your journey of 5 months almost ended in disaster because you and your family and crew got trapped in the Arctic ice. And you said there are two kinds of ice, which I never knew, in the Arctic, newer ice and older, thicker ice. So what's the difference? And which was the kind you got stuck in?
The difference is basically if you think of, well, the newer ice is ice that's formed over the last, let's say, 2 years. It's thin, meaning about a foot thick at tops, and it's fresh and it's clean. The older ice is anywhere from 6 to 10 feet thick, and it's very, it's not as fresh and clean, and it's very dark and craggy looking. It's still ice, but it's dark and old. Well, we encountered, the new ice. And every day we would download ice reports from the Canadian Ice Service, and we'd watch what was happening with this new ice. And the new ice was dissipating. So it allowed us an open passage one day to work ourselves down into the center of the passage. What was happening, Carol, which we didn't know about then, and I don't think a lot of people realize now when they set out to try to do this, is that when the new ice moves out, it's like pulling a cork out of a bottle, and it allows the older ice, which is up at higher northern latitudes, now free access to move south. And we were caught in that. We were heading down into what the ice chart said was a free, open area, and we ran into an ice wall. And we tried to, this was maybe 50 miles long, and we tried to find an entrance through, so we turned around and said, we better go back to the anchorage because this isn't going to happen. And as we were heading back north to where we had spent the night, an ice wall was coming down from the north to the south of old ice, and now we were in a squeeze play with it. There was no getting out, and within 18 hours, it had us. We couldn't go an inch forward. We couldn't go an inch backwards. Pagan, the boat, was a little bit up onto her side, and we were about a mile and a half offshore, slowly getting pushed onto the rocks as the other ice was.
And that's the scary part, because getting pushed onto the rocks, the boat would have been crushed, right?
Absolutely, because we were seeing sheets of ice that weighed many, many, many more tons than the boat and larger, just shattering and exploding from the pressure of being pushed onto the shore. And it was, when we first noticed this, we were a mile and a half offshore, and as I talk about in the book, when we had to finally make a decision, we were now a quarter of a mile offshore. And as the leader and parent, and I just said, you know, we've got, it's not good, guys. It's not good at all. But I would rather, if we have to sink, I would rather sink trying to fight our way out of this, because we might find a way out. But I can't sit still just to let us be pushed up onto the shore with no effort of trying.
And you did get out. And after that near-death encounter with the ice, did the journey get easier? What about the weather? Because the weather, you never know.
Oh, Carol, the journey got worse. We made it through the Northwest Passage, great celebration. Then I said, okay, now we've got 3,000 miles to get home. And we had waited so long for the ice to clear up so that we could go from that ice chart, you know, down into an open area, that the winter storms in Siberia were now starting to form. And they come in early, and they are, if you think we have storms on the East Coast, winter storms from Siberia are massive, and they're sudden, and they're brutal. And for the last 3 months, we probably didn't have anything under 30, 35 knots or 6 foot seas. And we had snow. We had a lot of snow. Because that area is so unpopulated, there are no marinas to hop into. There's nowhere really to say, okay, we'll just tie up and wait this out. We had to keep pushing.
Wow. And you know, you also said that you saw a lot of polar bears. And why do you say that the close encounters that you had with these polar bears were ones of the worst kind? They were not happy encounters.
Polar bear are, you know, sharks get the misnomer of being the deadliest creature, or whatever. But they are nothing compared to polar bears. Polar bears kill just to kill, not because they're hungry or defenses. They will kill just to kill. Plus, they are probably the smartest creatures I know of, anyways, on the planet. And one of the closest calls we had that was very unpleasant and very bone-chilling was every time we went to shore, there were always two people with guns. Not to shoot at the polar bear, because there's no point we were trying, if one approached, we certainly didn't want to try and kill one, but to make noise, to shoot a concussion round at its feet so it would scare it and make it run away. Now, you have to imagine, when we're on shore filming and these two people are on gun watch, their job is not to help filming. We don't talk to them. They don't talk to us. They are looking for polar bear. Now, the particular spot where we were filming was flat, like about 7 football fields flat. We filmed there for 2 hours, no polar bear. Got into the dinghy to go back out to the boat. We were maybe 30 seconds offshore. We turned around, and there was a polar bear sniffing right where our tripod had been. Now, he had to have been hiding in a gully that couldn't have been any more than a foot deep. And these animals are 12 feet tall when they stand. So the ability for him to blend in and be invisible was remarkable. And he saw us the entire time. And if he wanted, there would be nothing we could do to have defended ourselves against polar bear. So even though we had these gun watchers with binoculars and scouring and looking at the land, he was right within, he could probably throw a rock wherever he was, that close to us, just staring at us.
That's Sprague Theobald in conversation with Carol Marx. His book is titled The Other Side of the Ice, One Family's Treacherous Journey, Negotiating the Northwest Passage, published by Skyhorse Publishing. Carol Marx returns with more conversation when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And if you enjoy novels and want to hear about them and hear interviews with novelists, one of our senior correspondents, Richard Neer, who's coming up later, has a wonderful podcast program called Richard Neer's Novelist Cafe at podjockey.com. That's www.podjockey.com. Now, speaking of novels, We have Carol Marks ready to interview Janet Ivanovich. She is a number one New York Times bestselling author and one of the most successful novelists of our time. And she's going to talk to Carol about her latest book, The Chase, published by Bantam.
How did two successful mystery writers decide they wanted to co-author a new mystery series that would be a combination of crime, advance, and adventure? Were you and Lee Goldberg already friends?
Yeah, we've been friends for a long time. We sat down and tried to remember when we first met, and I think it was maybe on my second book. I was on book tour in L.A., and Lee came out and introduced himself, and we've just been friends ever since. You know, it's sometimes you just meet people that you feel like you've known in another life. You know, you get along really well.
And certainly makes a wonderful combination of writing. And since you both live in different states, how are you able to accomplish getting this book written? Who did what?
Yeah, he's in L.A. and I'm in Florida. But with the Internet and telephone calls and Skyping, we can communicate pretty well. And then we get together a couple times a year. I go out to L.A. or he comes here to Florida and we plot out the next book. So it works really well. He's very good at things that I'm not so good at. He is amazing at plot. He has all these adventurous ideas. And he's very well traveled because of his experience with television and movies. He's been in a lot of locations. And so he brings a lot of that to the table. And then I'm a little bit better at the character stuff. So I fill that in. Lee actually does the first draft. We get together and we decide where we're going to go with the book, what the crime is going to be, who the bad guy is going to be, what we want to accomplish with the book. And then Lee goes off and he writes the first draft. And he gives that to me and I just walk all over it. I get my hands into it. And I put it in a little bit more of my voice so that we meet my readers' expectations, because there has to be some, I hesitate to say romance. Maybe lust would be more in it. And
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and there have to be great characters. And I'm a little bit better at writing women. Lee's pretty good with the guy, but he writes women from a man's point of view, you know. And he always wants to have them naked.
Yeah, what do they know anyway?
Yeah, not much. It turns out not too much. So I do that, and I do the second draft of the book. And between the two of us, I think this is a pretty exciting series. We've been getting amazing feedback on these two books, and especially the second book. It really seems to be taking off. It's much more of a thriller than my Stephanie Plum series. Plum takes place in Trenton, New Jersey, and compared to The Chase, the Stephanie Plum books are sort of like crime in a phone booth. You know, they're very contained.
You know, it's just a great, collaboration. And The Chase just made, I mean, it's not surprising because all your books do, but it just made the New York Times bestseller list, so congratulations on that. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the main characters, FBI agent, Special Agent Kay O'Hare, and Nick Fox, who's a reformed and charming con man. So how in the world did they become partners in solving what in your book is a really big crime?
Well, because Nick Fox is so successful at what he does. I mean, he was just a born con man. He got kicked out of college because he was running a scheme. And he has pulled off some very daring and very high-level cons in his career. And Kate O'Hare, Special Agent Kate O'Hare, has been assigned to take him down, and she has chased him for several years. And when she finally caught him, in true Nick Fox fashion, he conned the FBI into agreeing to partner him up with Kate. Rather than sending him to prison, he persuaded them to partner him up with Kate, and the two of them would take down bad guys that otherwise would be untouchable by the FBI.
So he's amazing and very charming. And now, as we mentioned, there's a little romance in the book. Nick and Kate are both sexy and smart. And, you know, I kind of just enjoyed so much the sexual tension that was between them. And was that fun to write about?
It was. I liked that part of a book. You know, I started out as a romance writer. And when I moved out of romance, I tried to take the things that I loved about romance, which were the positive characters. There was a lot of humor in my romance novels. And there was this sexual tension. When I was writing romance, because of the kind of books I was writing, we had to have several consummated sex scenes. And I was never great at that. That was never my favorite part. I loved the chase. I loved the adventure of getting to know someone. I loved the tension that came from that. I just loved the chase. And so that was what I took into this series, was this business about, you know, there are two people who are totally different. Nick Fox is a consummate con man. He is always all about getting around the law. And Kate O'Hare is all about the law. She was an army brat. She comes from a military family. She was in the military, and now she's an FBI agent, and she is all about upholding the law. And here you have these two people working together. And if that isn't bad enough, of course, you know, he's a very hot guy, because you have to have a hot guy in the book. I mean, that's that's where I get my vicarious, you know, thrills from. And so these two people are physically attracted to each other and mentally and emotionally repelled by each other.
Very, very interesting indeed. Janet Ivanovich, in conversation with Carol Marx, the host of our program. Janet Ivanovich is a number one New York Times bestselling author, one of the most successful novelists of our time. And the book that they were discussing is titled The Chase, published by Bantam Books. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Carol Marx is the host of the program, A Touch of Gray. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. More of A Touch of Gray coming up with the aforementioned Richard Neer in the interviewing seat. That's next when the program continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And we're going to be joined the rest of the way in this program by our senior correspondent, the multidimensional Richard Neer. And when I say multidimensional, I don't mean he comes from a different place in space and time, but rather Richard Neer, in an age of specialization, has specialized in many, many specialties, from rock music to sports to broadcasting to literature. Richard, you are a true Renaissance man, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I understand in just a few moments you're going to be talking to a holistic psychotherapist, a woman by the name of Pam Blair, and she wrote a book called Getting Older Better, which is published by Hampton Roads Publishing. Getting Older Better. What's a holistic psychotherapist anyway?
It's one that takes a complete approach with not just psychotherapy as we know it, but perhaps with nutrition, exercise, holistic, a whole approach as opposed to just treating certain things. And more and more as we get older, I think you have to consider that it's not just one thing that works, that there are many different approaches that work. And that's what she specializes in, a whole bunch of things.
I guess that she's more the psychologist than the psychiatrist. Psychologists are not necessarily medical doctors. And I certainly am not meaning to paint a broad brush of all psychiatrists, but it seems lately most people who practice psychiatry are really hardcore medical doctors with a capital M, and they're very heavy into the drugs.
About psychiatrists can prescribe drugs where psychologists can't.
Mm-hmm.
And we have talked about the fact that maybe we're getting a little over-dependent on drugs. Even go back to Mick Jagger and Mother's Little Helper, where if something's wrong, we want a pill that will fix it, as opposed to a lifestyle change, either psychologically or holistically.
Yes. So so there is a difference, certainly, between psychology and psychiatry. So some psychiatrists are excellent psychologists, but many psychiatrists really are... they are the facilitators. They are the air traffic controllers, if you will, of the meds. Now we're going to up your meds. We're going to lower your meds. I personally have not had the experience in my life of ever officially going to a psychiatrist. However, I know a number of people who do, and I know a number of psychiatrists. And some of them are extremely matter-of-fact about it. They make no apology whatsoever. They say, no, I believe that better living through chemistry, that these medicines are extremely helpful in a variety of syndromes, and I'm very happy to give out these prescriptions.
Well, they can be, but the problem is, Michael, that everybody's physiology is different, and there's no one-size-fits-all mm-hmm. medicine. We were talking about the other day when we spoke to a doctor about pain that people have with cholesterol drugs, and the fact that some people take the first drug prescribed and it works perfectly and they're fine and lowers their cholesterol. But many people, like my brother, for example, took it and had all kinds of muscle aches and pains and side effects and then gave up, as opposed to going in and finding some of these other drugs that can help. So a lot of times it's kind of guesswork. It's almost like a car where, okay, let's try the transmission. Oh, okay, that's all right. Well, let's try the air filter. Let's try an oil change. Maybe it's your brakes. It's a little scary when you're talking about the human body.
Well, Richard Neer will be talking with Pam Blair next, a holistic psychotherapist, and Then maybe we'll talk a little bit about basketball. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with The Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And now, as promised, here is our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with Pam Blair. She's a holistic psychotherapist and the author of Getting Older Better, published by Hampton Roads Publishing.
You know, here's a typical reaction. You're in a restaurant, and you're sitting at a table, and you look over, and there are some people who seem to be much, much older.
Yes.
And you look and you go, oh, my, that's going to be me someday. And then you start, you know, having a conversation with them. And it turns out that they're your age.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the fear we all have. Oh, my God, do people see me that way? Give us a little help in terms of just that physical shock factor.
Well, you know, the dichotomy is that we feel so much younger than previous generations of people did. Let's consider it this way. At the turn of the 20th century, in the early 1900s, let's say, people died before they were 50. All right, so you know, we have another 50 bonus years. And why are we worried so much about what people think? I mean, we need to get over that. Number one. And number two, doesn't it really matter how we feel inside as opposed to what we look like? We certainly don't look very much like our grandmothers did. They aged and they looked older. They really did. And they didn't take care of themselves the way this generation is taking care of themselves. And I speak of a generation of boomers, okay? We were educated more on nutrition and exercise and taking care of our skin and staying out of the sun, right? So we are looking better. It's just we need to stop judging ourselves and others, period.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's hard to do because there's such a premium on youth in this culture, you know, and you see all these gorgeous celebrities, and then you see lot of celebrities who are older who look great, and then you see some who are older and don't look so great, and you go, oh, this is depressing. I'm seeing Julie Christie with wrinkles. So,
you know what, Richard? You know the ones who don't look good? I don't know if you saw Kim Novak on the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had so much surgery on her face, she couldn't move her face. You know, she's been Botoxed and pulled to the point where she no longer has character. That's not pretty. And I'm sure she's about in her 80s, maybe.
I think she's 80 years old or so. What about the sexual part of it? You know, we all think, well, the heyday in the blood will die down when we get a little bit older. But that's not necessarily the case.
Well, you know, it's different for men and women, all right? And primarily this book was written to help women understand their bodies as they age better, okay? Because there is a difference between the two, and I'm not going to go into the technicalities. I think it's important that we recognize the changes that happen in our bodies. But certainly sex can be very enjoyable, and it doesn't have to be the kind of, you know, jump around that we used to do when we were 20 or 30 or 40. But it can be very pleasurable, and it's a choice, isn't it? All right. If we have an understanding partner, we can choose to engage or not. And to our capabilities. But there certainly are some warm times that I'm having with my husband
Well, there are some other things, too, as you get older, things that you used to be able to do and you can't do it anymore. If you play a sport and you're used to a certain level of achievement and that level goes down, that can be something that troubles one.
But what's true, Richard, is that as one thing we need to let go of, you know, let's say it's tennis, for instance, and our knees are giving out, there is something that awaits us in another venue. So we need to stop worrying so much about the diminishments and take a look at the accomplishments we've had in our lives and what's left. You know, there's plenty left.
And I think we need to maybe look at new pursuits that are a little bit more age appropriate, that maybe don't take the physical prowess that one had in one's youth.
That's right. There's so much to enjoy about this aging. You know, somebody once said, what is it, aging is not for sissies. Well, okay, so the opposite of that is you get stronger as you get older, more determined. Many of us do, and more feisty. I'm enjoying that part.
Well, that can be true. What about money is another thing, and I think we all look at retirement and we think, boy, man, do I have enough money?
Yeah.
Your book has some pretty good advice along those lines, too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I didn't want to write that chapter because I hate thinking about that too much because I want to live my life and not worry too much. But we do have to plan. That's number one. Okay, so if you haven't made a plan, make a plan. But don't get so caught up in what the actuarial tables tell us or whatever those tables are that you're going to run out of money. The truth is I have enough sweaters in my closet to last me the rest of my life. My mattress is going to last another 10 years for sure. I have a couch. I have a chair. I have rugs. I mean, you know, I've got the things that I need now to live. As long as I've got food in the fridge and a way to pay for my medical expenses, and thank God for some of the programs that are out there, especially in Vermont, we're going to be okay. We need to stop worrying so much. Yeah, meet with a financial advisor. Go ahead, do that. Get your will done, get your trust ready, and then have some fun with your life.
Now, health is another issue that we talk about, and you touched on just now, and It's I think especially for men, Pam, they have a hard time admitting, gee, I really should go to the doctor here. Something isn't right. What kind of advice can you give them?
Stop whining and go to the doctor. My husband is a typical example of that, okay? And I have to almost shove him out the door to go to the doctor. I think women are more inclined to say, you know, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling sick, I'm unhappy, or whatever it is, and they go and seek help. Men, it's unfortunate in this society. We've put them in a position where they have to be the strong one and not admit to weakness. And I think that creates a lot of depression and upset in men. They don't talk about that either. But, you know, those societal expectations that men be stronger, come on, let's get over that.
And work is another thing. A lot of folks feel that they just want to work forever and don't ever want to stop working. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in some professions, they're not able to find employment in those areas where they worked all their lives. What would your advice be there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a time where sort of energetically the universe says to us, you know, it's time to pursue something else. All right, I think it's important to stay creative moving forward through this time. In fact, creativity will add, you know, many more years to your life because your attitude shifts when you're creative. So it's a challenge to become creative. So all right, so you can't work in your profession. They don't want a 65-year-old guy or gal working there. Maybe it's time for you to have an avocation or time for you to have your own small business or something else. But, you know, we get caught up in, oh, gosh, that's it, the end. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something new.
That's Pam Blair, a holistic psychotherapist, the author of the book Getting Older Better, published by Hampton Roads Publishing, in conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. I'm Michael Harrison. Richard Neer returns for some final words when we enter the final segment of this big two-hour broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit about pop culture from the sporting angle. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy. You feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this two-hour broadcast with Richard Neer joining us again. Interesting conversation with the psychotherapist, Richard. And now let's talk about, as promised, something that is a bit more recreational, and that is basketball. We're in the second season. The playoffs have begun. And taking that multi-feathered cap of yours and turning it in the direction of your sports talk career, what you thinking about regarding this year's playoffs?
Well, first thing I thought about was the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, who are playing the Brooklyn Nets, who at a pep rally said, F Brooklyn. And I thought, boy, that's pretty extreme that we've gotten to the point where a respected executive of an organization would be able to say that about an entire borough of New York City. And the NBA fined him, I think it was $25,000, but it's pretty outrageous, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's outrageous. Did he say this publicly, or did he say it at a private meeting?
It was at a pep rally where thousands of fans were there, and of course, some of them had cameras, and it went viral on the internet. So it was pretty widely known.
You know, it's interesting. The Toronto Raptors play in Canada, and although the NBA is basically an American organization, Canadians they seem to be a little bit more polite.
Well, that's the stereotype, I suppose. But the other thing that happened was Matt Harvey, the Mets pitcher who had Tommy John surgery, did an Instagram of himself before the surgery giving the finger to Tommy John surgery. And I'm thinking, boy, I guess it's social media. Maybe people were doing these things, saying things all along, but now that we have the social media, as we talked about last week, it's out there. And, it seems pretty untoward for a baseball player to do that publicly, even if it's in jest. And he immediately took his Twitter account down. He's not going to be doing that anymore. But it's kind of crazy, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's crazy. What happens is the social media is funny. Well, the internet is funny. It creates the illusion that it's intimate. And it's so easy to do it. You're sitting in your home. Maybe you had something to drink. You're feeling loose. You're communicating. You just put something out there, and the whole world knows about it. And then it's forever. So it's definitely dangerous for some people. And that's why they close their accounts so as not to be tempted to do something basically that's mindless or stupid, to use a more powerful word. What's going on with the basketball, with the players storming the field or the court or whatever they call it?
Well, it's the fans. I mean, in college, it's almost encouraged to do that. And I'm just afraid somebody's going to get really hurt when they do this. And, of course, there's interactions with players. Yankee Stadium a couple weeks ago, a couple of people ran onto the field. And back to social media, before it used to be when the television cameras were on, they would turn away and they wouldn't show it. And the commentators would say, oh, there are a couple of crazy people running on the field now. Now they're in the newspaper. They take pictures of them. So they actually do get a certain amount of fame, or should we say notoriety, for doing something that will land them in.
Yeah. When you and I were growing up, everyone used to say the Andy Warhol thing, everybody has 15 minutes of fame. Now everybody has 15 seconds of fame. it's sped up a little bit. Richard Neer, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next weekend. And, of course, thank you for your contributions to the program. Thank you to Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line, and Steve Wiseman, Kevin Casey, and, of course, the founder and host of the show, Carol Marks. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another two-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.